Danger! Danger! You know, I like that. Lost in Space, there was a little robot that would run around, and when the young Robertson would get in trouble, the robot would say, "Danger! Danger!" Well, danger lies ahead. Sometimes you'll run across the sign and it reads this: "Still unseen, potentially life-threatening terrain lies before you. Ignore the warning sign and face mortal danger. Heed it and stay safe." Maybe even save your life. Second Peter is a letter from Peter to warn Christians about false teachers and urge believers to grow in their faith. It's also a challenge because in this sinful world that we're in now, we will always find a way to challenge our faith. We are bombarded today, as you know, and our faith is, well, sometimes we don't lose it, but it gets shaken. And that's what Peter wrote in his first letter to the believers who were struggling with persecution and suffering. Now, Peter writes this letter to the believers who are still facing attacks from teachers within the church who are introducing false teaching and twisting the truth of Christ. That's what Satan does. You know, Jesus even said, Satan knows the scriptures as good as I, but what he does is he twists them to destroy the truth that are in the scriptures and to deceive you. Well, this short letter from Peter to the church at large serves as a warning sign for Christians. The danger is not something that's up ahead or something right here and right now, but within the church. Warning! There are false teachers at work among you. Warning! Listening to them will lead you astray away from Christ. These false teachers will cause you to self-destruct. They will literally cost you your life, but more important, maybe even cost you your eternal life. Peter is known as the Apostle of Comfort and the Apostle of Encouragement. And now Peter becomes the Apostle of Warning. These were tough times of persecution from without, and in his first letter, Peter encouraged believers to live strong lives through persecution. Now he's dealing with the external threats of persecution, but with the internal threats of false teaching. So what is the solution, preacher? How do we, like the people of Peter's time, stand against false teachers that is so self-destructive? How do we even recognize those who twist and bend the principles of Christianity to their own liking? And how do we keep from being swept up in their eloquent speaking, moved by words that seem to make so much sense? Well, the answer is simple. Get to know the Word of God. That's why I wanted to do an overview of the New Testament, to whet your appetite about the Word of God and for you to kind of dive into it. And when you do, you take on the nature of Christ, and growing more like Him helps you to recognize that which is not like Him. Jesus said to test the Spirit and make sure it's of Me. God's Word is the foundation, and those who have only a shallow knowledge of it has superficial resistance to false teaching. This is the key to resisting evil and heresy, for they are found in every church. Scripture says, resist the devil and he will flee, and you need to do that, because there's false teachers out there, and many of them are teaching and preaching the Word of God in a way that is just twisted enough to lead you astray. Heresy is not limited to unbelievers, but it's even more pitiful when it's inside the church. Thank God we don't have that at Bethel. But there are some churches that are experiencing this. But how can we guard against heresy and false teaching? Well, the same way the Christians of Peter's time could do it. The pure teaching of the Word of God. The Word of God, the Bible, the living Word of Jesus Christ, offers you the only true way to resist false teaching. And how well do you know God's Word? That's important. Know it well enough to heed the warning signs that threaten your soul and threaten your church. You don't have to memorize all the scriptures, but if you read the Bible, those little nuggets will kind of get into your spirit. And when you have a challenge, you'll know where to go and find it. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, it talked about self-control. Peter says, knowing God leads you to self-control, and self-control leads to patience, endurance, and patient endurance leads to godliness. You see, the false teachers were telling Christians that self-control was not needed because works do not gain salvation. Anyway, it is true, works cannot save us, but it is absolutely false to think that we're unimportant to God. God, who wants to produce His character and active love in us through the grace and the love of the Holy Spirit. But even His work in us requires some effort on our part. Thought, self-control is a vital part of our spiritual growth. Peter also talks about things in this world that we have a problem with, and that's addiction. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19, it says, they promise freedom, but they themselves are slaves to sin and corruption. For you are a slave to whatever controls you. That's the same with drugs or overeating or money. Anything that controls you is an addiction. And cults usually seek to control their members. In a real sense, members become addicted to the cult leader. Charismatic, so to speak, if you would. Not all the charismatic people are that way, but most of the charismatic people will be the cult leader. And that person becomes the master. We can become addicted to gossip, greed, lust, or even a long list of undesirable habits. I'm one that knows how easy it is to get into those kind of addictions. So each day we should review our masters. Is there something undesirable that I have adopted? Do I have a new master in some things? Am I addicted to it? How can I get out of this addiction? The only master who will lead you into godliness is Jesus Christ. He wants the best for us, to help us to become all that we should be, to be fulfilled. And our masters only want to dominate and control us. Addictive forces or leaders have a hollow end with destruction and the ultimate result of our relationship with them. Our purpose is to lead us away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, when you accept Christ in your life, and this is so important, it's a simple prayer for simple people, and I make light of that in some ways. In other ways, it's so true. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm addicted. I know I have all these challenges and all these problems. And if you're everything that you say that you are, Lord, then I want you to come into my heart. I know it said over in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, you stand at the door of our heart and knock. You want to come in. But we got to open the door and invite you in. And I can assure you, you'll never be the same in Jesus' name. One of the reasons that we wanted to do the overview of the New Testament, because the New Testament is filled full of God's grace and love. And Jesus not only was here on this earth, but He not only acted it out, He did. He took the sins of the world to the cross of Calvary, was dead and buried. The third day He rose from the dead, breaking that bondage over sin and death that Satan was holding over our head all this time. You know what? He stayed around for another 40 days, ministering and ministering. And He said, I'll be back, church. I am not gone. I just simply went to prepare a place for you. The good news of the gospel. Well, God bless you. Hope and pray you're enjoying these online services as much as Phil and I are enjoying putting them together for you. It's a good way for me, too, to kind of exercise my own spiritual growth. But I hope and pray that these little messages will help you. And next time, the overview is going to be in John, 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. The same John that the Bible says that Jesus loved. That John. And the John of Revelation. What a joy it is. Looking forward to sharing with you. Hope and pray you have a wonderful day. In Jesus' name, God bless.